This is side B. It's 3:30 in the morning here in Orange County. I just found this old tape of which side A seems to have been done on something like the 18th, 19th of June. It took me a while to figure out that it also had to be 1987 instead of 88. And that side is kind of interesting. It seems to go about halfway. And if there's anything on past that, I didn't find it for a few turns. I figured it'd be safer to start on this side B for today. What's today? November the 1st? Nope. It's November the 2nd, Wednesday, 3:30 in the morning, and La Pussy Gata has got me pinned down here. Now she's purring. Woke her up with the light. Just found some of my old tapers. Okay. Back to this letter. It was really nice to see you people, and I wish there could have been more time, but I was lucky to have what time there was. And hopefully all of us were lucky to have what time there was. Excuse me. Still got the cold, but it's getting better. Oh my goodness, here comes my kitty again. Yes. And I've turned the light off, so I'm operating this in the dark. But I've been getting familiar with my tapers for the last couple of hours. Two batteries are working, two of them are not. They're rechargeable. And I got all kinds of good stuff lost in this apartment. I need to find the chargers. Anyhow, I can babble. At 3:30 in the morning, lying still is just about as good as I can babble in a car, apparently. I'd just been telling one of my counselors that I see about once a month on a tape that was apparently back about last May. And I could tell that I must be getting better because I could no longer tape while driving. I become a normal person again, to which that was a distraction. It was incredibly dangerous. It was not exactly safe before that, but it was relatively safe in comparison to trying to do it now. I just can't possibly do it now. I would have to be, well, I could, but I would have to be on a long Texan road, cruising along at say 30 miles an hour, and no traffic and no crossroads for it to continue to be relatively safe. Of course, I scanned the highway all the time when I was crazy and doing this, or crazier, whichever applies. Sandy used to say, if the foo shits, wear it. One of her favorite old sayings, which God knows where it came from. Again, I'd be surprised if you couldn't hear a purr on this thing. The other machine, apparently, it's a really good one, but I can't, I have to have earphones in order to hear anything. Even the radio, the stereo radio that's on it. Boy, I got that one a while back. And This one, I'm lucky that the battery still works, since it's obviously been a while. So, now, I hope you all got to your relative destinations in good order. I'm sure you did, or somebody must best be okay, or somebody would have writ. Well, if all of you went down in the same airplane, I don't suppose I'd ever learn of the fact. I'm such a cheerful type at 3:30 in the morning. Actually, I feel pretty cheerful. I went to my Science of Mind group here last night here. Runs from 7:15 to 9:45. And over the weekend, I went to a Science of Mind symposium, which is a first for me. First became involved in this religion or religious approach back in 1955. And I bought Ernest Holmes' book, Science of Mind, and I studied it on my own, and I got to a number of meetings. They met, most of them met in churches back then. They met in theaters. And there was one church, one big church, and it was Jack Hornaday's, well, somebody Hornaday's church in L.A., and I got to that a few times, but I never connected with a formal class in it. And so here I am, full circle here after 33 years. Oh, kitty pot. Yes, I know, this is ridiculous, isn't it? Talking into a funny little box. It's got a little red light on in the middle of the morning. People are just really strange, aren't they, baby? Now, let's see. This letter here, I figured that since the first half of the first side was originally meant for you, we would continue on from that. You really look great, dear. You really did, and I'm so glad that you're enjoying your new work. Didn't get a chance to really find out how you guys were doing, except that you were frazzled. What I already knew, that you were frazzled with your work. I guess you're the only one that wasn't frazzled. And I'm really glad that Sue Beck got to meet you and see you. She really enjoyed you. And I guess that was last Wednesday night. Good grief. Seems like a long time ago. She called about 2:30 today to tell me that she wouldn't be able to get here at 4. I was about to call her to tell her she could come to change her army clothes, but that I wouldn't be here. I was going back to school to try and catch up on some of the assignments that I have not been able to do because of being kind of out of it for the past week so far as being able to do my artwork. Well, my mind is sort of flipping around here. Pretty good shape earlier. I went to this Science of Mind symposium starting last Thursday afternoon. And I almost didn't get through that because I was getting sicker and sicker. But we got into some good prayer work. And while I didn't get rid of the cold, I got rid of the mean, I didn't get rid of the cough and I didn't get rid of the infection, but I was able to stay awake and be clear in my mind and get the benefit of the thing. And it was really, really an experience for me. And it's so similar. Of course, it is. Its thought was a lot of that thinking. That type of thinking went into Thane's courses. His courses were based on a mixture of Christian Science and Unity, approach of the Unity School of Christianity, and which he was an ordained minister in, but never had a church. And Science of Mind. And seeing as how I had never studied Science of Mind formally, by formally I mean actually taking their courses, and I was 3 years, no, it was longer than that. It was 1963 when I got in the Prosperos, so I was about 8 years away from my first exposure to that when I got into Thane's classes, so I wasn't aware of how close, well, I know they're close, but I mean the way he presented the stuff was unique, was truly unique. Anyhow, it was really neat that Manuela, I think it was Manuela that fixed the toilet. I just got a look at it tonight, the chain. Yeah, you know, every time I flushed it, it worked. I thought, man, she must have tied it around it good, because I couldn't get it to stay on more than one flush. And my goodness, I got that landlord in to take a look at, take him his check, and I told him my carburetor had gone out, and I really needed the carburetor. The toilet had been fixed, apparently. He was worried about my heat. Did I want it turned back on? Well, it never got turned off. He's sort of like about 9 months behind time. He turned it off for me late last summer, after Sandy had died. And I didn't get it turned back on till probably after I got back here from the operation. And then I've had it on low. When we started getting into warm weather, I turned it down as far as it would go without turning it out, and never asking to turn it off for the summer this year. So he'd missed all of that. And I said, yeah, well, it wouldn't hurt for you to show me again how to turn the heat up, because it's getting chilly occasionally. So I got all that, I said, you probably won't think the place looks better because you know, it's still whatever it is, but it looks better than it was. You know, it's like somebody that's gotten fat and thin and fatter and less fat or whatever. And meanwhile, you're saying, oh my goodness, you've lost weight. You haven't seen them in a year. Meanwhile, they've done whatever they've been doing all year. And that's not fitting their sense testimony. My God, I've gained weight. Yeah, well, not since the last time I saw you. And I know I've been gaining weight. Yeah, I weigh something like 150 now, which is ridiculous. I start... Yeah, well, that's another story. Anyway, dear, I enjoyed some of that old cowboy music that I listened to, that I have on the first side of, that I listened to again. And Walk the Way the Wind Blows. Halloween here. I sort of missed Halloween. And I guess it doesn't matter now, but it's sort of been mattering for the past 24 and more hours. And I became aware of the fact that I didn't have any stuff in. Went to sleep when I got home from school. 6 o'clock, I became aware of the fact it was Halloween evening, and my God, what was I going to do? So I decided I couldn't stand it, and I got up, got out, and went to the nearest place, and got their last 3 bags of Halloween candy for the kiddies, some apples, and continued on shopping. Got some new eggs and bread. Bread tends to mold on me, so I get the cheapest they got. And that works out pretty good. So I throw away half the loaf, whatever. I say, well, I'd like a smaller loaf. Well, that costs more. Well, never mind then. I'll pay $1.20 for a loaf of bread that I'm going to lose half of. Better I pay 59 cents for a loaf of bread that I'm going to lose half of. So, anyhow, I did all that shopping, got back, and had absolutely no energy left. Well, I better rest a little bit before I start opening doors to the kids. Next time I woke up, it was almost midnight. So, God, what a dingbat. Now I got this Halloween stuff in here, and well, the goblins have gone back into their nests. And that had me all bent out of shape, because Sandy would never have missed a Halloween, or any kind of a holiday. I mean, she would have had the provisions in for it weeks in advance. And or, as was true in her last 9 months, she would have had me have gone out and gotten them. And I talked to Marcia a few minutes earlier this evening, trying to keep my phone calls down to her to once a week, but because my phone bills have been phenomenally high, phenomenally bad. Bad news financially. Anyway, and she's going to Germany here come next Monday, so I told her I would try not to call her again before next Sunday night before she left. And then she'll be gone from Monday 7th to the 17th. Yeah, that'll give my phone bill a break. I really love that lady. She is the most consistently non-judgmental friend I've ever had in my whole life. And if I ever lost her, finish that sentence. Say I would truly know what grief was. Losing Sandy is sort of a different kind of a thing. She was the structure of my life for 30 years. But she was a very judgmental person. Just, you know, it's the way she was. I don't know whether it takes lifetimes to overcome that. I suspect it does. I suspect it does. I think that it's something you have to be aware of. Like with sarcasm, you have to be aware of how bad that hurts people. Now, it's a self-defense mechanism on the part of the person that uses it, and it's based on low self-esteem and all that good shit. But until you become really aware in the core of your being of how that hurts other people and doesn't really help you, you're not driven to change as I was driven to change. I used to have, I can have it again, but I don't want it. I had that power. I used sarcasm a great deal when I was young, till 1 year in high school where it boomeranged on me, and I became aware of the fact of how badly I had hurt a young guy when I was just plain popping off. And my God, I wasn't aware that I had that power and that that's what I was doing. Well, the light went out there, and I don't know what happened there. Well, that's a warning that the batteries are going. Maybe. I'll see how this playing. And of course, it's kind of dangerous. As it was pointed out on the other side of this tape, by God, I had erased and erased and erased. Kept being, you know, I had some good stuff on that originally, as I recall. But anyhow, sides of this couch are slipping down on me. Sarah asked, who's helping you clean this place up? Nobody. That's not quite true. I mean, I tried to answer the question honestly. From time to time, I run into somebody that I'm able to let help me and who is able to help me. I'm a pretty difficult person to help in this regard. Certainly, I can't turn loose any professional person in this place. You know, God, it costs $1,000. Or they just take a shovel and shovel it out. You know, that'd be one way. That's one approach. Anyway, I love Marcia very much. She has saved my life. Or sanity, or something. Over the past 8-9 years, actually. And, anyway. Well, I see here that having re-listened to the tape this morning, and it's 6:15, November the 2nd in the AM, my pussycat has got me totally pinned down and perfectly happy to stay that way. Because she knows she's got food over there on the floor from last night. And I normally don't feed her, except in the mornings. And she shreds the landscape from anywhere from 4 to 5 o'clock till I get up. But, God, she's warm and comfy, and I've had the heat on low, window closed, and I don't know. Winter's coming on. I see I didn't finish that Halloween story. Grief for Sandy hides around in pockets and comes out at inappropriate or appropriate times, usually triggering off of something else or like in the case when Marcia told me about seeing that your lesbian, her story, archives, documentary that contained her. And Billy wept. And Marcia didn't say whether she did or not. Billy knew Sandy much longer. Although Marcia enjoyed Sandy a lot early on. Sandy had a knowledge and appreciation of music. Well, anyway, on the Halloween thing, I was telling her about the debacle. And when I got to the point that Sandy never would have done a dumb thing like that. And she said, "Well, Estella, who are you?" Something like that. And I thought about that. I knew it was a loaded question. And I really didn't know how to answer the damn question. I said, "Well, one thing's obvious. I'm not Sandy." She said, "I didn't ask you who you weren't. I asked you who you are." Sigh. Well, managed to remember those children for last Christmas and their birthdays at least once. But when I said, "Well, Sandy wouldn't have," I guess that's what it's about. And also the memory of the good times we had, meeting the little goblins at the door, seeing how they were dressed. We missed that the 13 years that we lived at Merrimack Woods, because we were on the third floor of 123 apartment building. And the first year or two, we had candy and stuff ready for children that never came. And we'd always had children before, because we had always lived in a house before. And we were always ready for the children. Took us a while to realize that we were in a location and a situation where children didn't go trick-or-treating. And it was an adult apartment complex. There were no children in it. Even after children were mandated by the state, or, you know, that you could have them if you wanted, there wasn't more than one or two teenagers living in that building. Anyway, I said, "Well, I thought I'd let go of that dumb thing, but guess I hadn't." Reason I was beating myself about the head and shoulders was the fact that I wasn't as good as Sandy. Big help. Well, I've got to take this dawning array of medications here for asthma and whatnot. I get to see my regular doctor here Friday morning and see if she can't help me weed this stuff out here. This isn't really aggravating. The cold medicine complicates the interactions of the drugs, and so I'm not taking any of my allergy medicines for fear that they'll combine wrongly with cold medications. And I think I'll try and get to a meeting this morning. As I mentioned, the Science of Mind Symposium 88, which was a real breakthrough thing for me, and also a symbolic thing in the sense that the two halves of Science of Mind, which has been split about 20 years over some administrative hassle that they had, some way of doing things that they couldn't agree on, like how to ordain their train and ordain their ministers, as close as I get. Yeah, this is the first time they have actually gotten together in an official doodad, and they're going to do it again next year. We had about 800, 900 people added. A lot of people. And I met all kinds. Talked to all kinds. From one lady who might have been straight out of a 1890 Christian Science stereotype. Asked me how I was, and I said, "Well, I seem to have a bad cold." And she stared at me firmly and said, "There are no bad holes do not exist, or something idiotic like that. Well, you know, silly me. I forgot where I was at, except I didn't think I was at a Christian Science convention. So I kind of muttered to myself for a while over that, until I got other types to balance that type. And she was a very nice lady. Anyway, she gave me some little affirmation cards and phone number for their ministry of prayer, which turned out to be a delightful experience. I called and got this nice lady. How could she help me? What did I want her to pray for, or treat for, or any way you want? I told her, I said, well, I was afraid to tell her, seeing as how I had something that didn't exist. And God and the Prosperos, we got very, very deep and particular about the sense testimony. We felt that you had to know everything about it before you accepted it and released it. And I tend to have that kind of a mind anyway. So it's pretty well engraved in my thought processes. And I think you do. I have never seen anything good come out of denial when that happens in the first place. You can't, as one guy was to say later in the very last workshop that I attended, you can't look away from something until you have first looked at it. And if you deny it right in the beginning without having looked at it or accepted it for whatever it is or for whatever it appears, and then got on with seeing the truth of the matter, why, this comes under a type of heading of insanity that we're... It's pretty common in this country. All over the world, I suppose, especially in politics and social issues. Oh, especially with Reagan. There are no homeless. You know, that kind of crap. You just say no. Leaves out a lot of other factors. Ignores a lot of stuff that goes right on living and breeding. Anyway, how are we doing here? My goodness, it's rattling up here to 6:30. I gotta get on my horse. Anyway, this wonderful little science of mind lady on the other end of the line said, yes, what is it you have that doesn't exist? And I said, well, this practitioner who gave me your number said that bad colds didn't exist. And she laughed and said, well, you've reached the right person. She says, I seem to have the same condition. And then she sneezed and coughed for me, and I got to laughing. And we both got to laughing. It took us a while. It was quite joyous. And I sort of stressed that the main thing was I didn't want to miss the, you know, I was about to go home and just go to bed because I was so ill. And I didn't want to miss this symposium. There was one workshop in particular that I desperately wanted to get to, and that was being led by a man who was talking about a pathway to serenity, which is the correlation between the 12 steps of the 12-step programs and the anonymous programs and the 5 steps of treatment of religious science. And if there was somebody that had put that together, I certainly wanted to hear him or her. And so indeed, treatment worked pretty well. And she gave me a real nice prayer thing on the phone and affirmation and stuff. I went to my next class and went to sleep in it. But when I woke up, I just felt 200% better. It was really great. And I got to see a lady that I'm counseling with by phone in the Science of Mind thing, and give her some of my copies of my pictures, and that Flag of Nations thing. She said that looked like something in the original you could pay a whole lot of money for. I said, well, point of fact, I probably won't be giving you any live donation type money here for a while. Grumpf. And gave her that. I can't remember what the other one was. And a copy of John's Boot. And got to, well, that was practically at the end. There was still a luncheon to go and a major speech. Met a couple of black couple from this guy's church, and he preaches down here in Laguna Niguel, which is a lot closer to me than Thousand Oaks. Thousand Oaks is anywhere from 60 to 70 miles, 75 miles away. I think I'll ever get up there to hear those folks preach on a Sunday morning. Preach or teach, whatever you want to call it. They don't really preach in this religion, they teach. And, oh gosh. Well, I hope this tape's going to be worth your time, dear. I had found the whole little leather box full of all those ancient tapes. And I had them in the house here when you guys came. I had them from the cleaning that the Terry guy and I did. And I forgot them, which is probably just as well. I mean, I forgot them. I forgot to mention them. Forgot to mention that I found them. Because, except for tapes that I have may have done for you personally, that I've done while driving, that have got your name on them. I really wonder about the appropriateness of other tapes. Let's see. I believe you did send me copies of tapes, yes. And I never got around to listening to them again. And the thing I worry about on those tapes is that should they, because now I've forgotten, everything is way back there in a great big pit of non-remembrance. I've forgotten. It just seemed like there was a lot of material that included names and stuff of people who might not. You know what I mean? Oh, well, I'm getting snarled and bogged down in this. If I can get going creatively in some direction, Morgan, and rather give you something out of the future. The past 3 years of my life have been such sick ones. And the stuff that I did taping was done under such sick circumstances. God. Well, let me see. Let me look at the little counter on this thing. Oops. It looks like a 4:55. Which is already past the end of where I'm stopping here. There isn't a lot left on this tape, Will. Well, my counter seems to be different. It's 11:30, November the 2nd. I can't run this thing back again. I think I said it was November the 3rd. Well, my head slipped a wheel. It's Wednesday morning. Being awake half the night doesn't help your head on what... Let's see. 31st was Monday. Tuesday was the 1st. Today's Wednesday. Yeah. and I have a class at 1, and I think I'm flunking logo design 1A or something here, because I haven't got the homework done on that. Haven't felt good, but I could have been working on it last night instead of what I was doing. And I just don't have a feel for that yet. So, anyhow, what I'm going to do here is that if there's anything interesting, even slightly, comes up, I'm going to pick up whatever I'm talking about here and continue it on this is the B side, continue it on the A side at the end of the June 18th, 19th stuff. Remember, that was so shortly after Sandy's death. And when I was dealing with the lawyers on the case that we had just opened for the disability thing. Hello, this teacher that I'm going to see today, his name is Wayne Tennant, and he's a design consultant. He designs billboards primarily, apparently, for his living outside of being a teacher, and knows all about lettering and typography and stuff. He's not a calligrapher per se, apparently. Or at least he doesn't do that anymore as a living. But he knows what he would charge for it if he were doing it. Anyhow, I showed him some of my paintings that I happen to have with me that I was showing you guys. I don't understand what's happened to the rest of them. That's kind of bothersome. Had about 40 total. Maybe I had a whole bunch of little teeny ones that I gave me, little bitties, you know. Anyhow, he said, I want to urge you to continue doing this. I said, I don't have time for it right now while I'm taking these classes for credit. And that was something I was missing early on, was the good feeling that doing those particular subconscious or, yeah, I suppose the term is right brain anymore, big N type word. But doing it out of the flow. This religious science lady, minister that I know, I was showing her some of the stuff that I'd been able to put into my satchels that I took up to the conference, the symposium. She's looking at these neat circles that I do freehand with the acrylic paint. And she said, has this got something to do with what you used to do? And I said, well, I was a subdivision map checker. I said, what do you mean, a draftsman? I said, oh, it might. It might, although I doubt it. Draftsmen tend to draw circles with compasses, and I was kind of surprised myself at how, when I got going and with these little symbolic inner landscapes, how good I was at circles with a brush, and let it flow off the end of the brush and sort of keep going with my eye to keep it true. Of course, it's not perfectly true. If you wanted it perfectly true, you'd do it with a compass, and then it would look static. My little balls flying through space do not look static. Anyhow, he liked the small amount that he saw. He said it had a graphic sense. He particularly liked that big one with the red sun. That's something like 16 by 18, something like about that size that I can't make a... Well, I've got some color copies here. I had told Manuela I would send, if I can find it, and you guys would have to mosaic it, or somebody would, whoever. I'm kind of babbling here. I'm worried about my class. I don't seem to be able to get into it. If I don't go, I'm going to be doomed, though. He said at the beginning of the term you could hand stuff in late, but you couldn't not hand it in at all. In other words, you got to have something done on it. And the thing that I did do, which is apparently not what he wants, that's no good. And kids are not showing up for the class, and they have not been showing up for the class the last two times. It seems like we've been stuck on this and the SpectraSetter project for just forever. I wouldn't mind being stuck on the SpectraSetter project, but getting your chance at the machine, the only way I can get it is to get in there very last and then be able to stay through. The class goes from 1 to 3, and there's another class that starts at